everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest, and I'm your narrator, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay tuned for tonight's special report on essential oils when we come back. You know, the lessons on courtroom strategy and procedure that you hear on this program are just a small part of our two-week basic courtroom strategy and procedure school. And this school includes lessons on what to do and what not to do at the scene of this alleged crime, and what should you say to the police or investigators, and what you ought not to say to the police. And you'll learn how to conduct yourself in your case at bail setting, arraignment, pleadings, motion hearings, trial and appeal. And you'll learn how to ask questions, cross-examine adverse witnesses and select a jury, introduce exhibits and evidence, conduct discovery, do legal research, and follow the rules of court. In all, there are 28 elements to learn in courtroom strategy and procedure, and rule one is that all of the evidence that your opponent is ever going to use against you is going to be furnished by you. So keep your mouth shut, don't say anything, and then shut up. And after rule one is out of the way, we can get to the real business of winning your case. Now, if you'd like more information about courtroom strategy and procedure, just call us here at the law school. The number is 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for my free general law CD package while you're at it. That's a four-hour commentary on the school. It's entertaining, educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. And courtroom strategy and procedure is also available on compact disc for adult home education. If you're online, just go to our website, georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Now, once more, the phone number, 417-273-4967, or go to the webpage, georgegordon.org. All right, we're talking about this thing called essential oils. For those of you that might have joined us a little late in the discussion here, essential oils are the biblical equivalent to drugs. Yeah, that's right. You see, just like the Federal Reserve System came in long after God had created gold and silver coin, mankind has been using money for thousands of years. And the money that God gave us to use is gold and silver. It's a bimetallic system. 16 ounces of silver equals 1 ounce of gold, and 1 ounce of gold equals 16 ounces of silver. It's been that way for thousands of years. And one day, we woke up and we said, oh my God, this is no good. We've got to have a real economy. We've got to have a central bank. We need to have a Federal Reserve Bank. We need paper money, a stock market, bonds, mortgages, interest, usury. And so we created the Federal Reserve System back in 1913, and nothing has ever been the same since. Well, the same thing happened to us here with pharmaceuticals. Back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were getting along quite nicely, you know, without Tambercol or phenobarbital or Vioxx. They weren't suffering from a Vioxx deficiency or a Tambercol deficiency. And so one day we woke up and we said, you know what we need? We need drugs. Now, God had given us essential oils. God has always provided for our needs, but we woke up and said, this is no good. And so, back around the turn of the century, John D. Rockefeller decided that what we needed to do was to make a split in medical practice, and that we would go from, or, you know, that's where the profit's at, as they say, follow the money. So John D. went off onto allopathic medicine and drugs. You know, the drug industry was born about 100 years ago. And it's been immensely profitable for the drug industry and the drug companies. Meanwhile, back on the farm, there has always been this alternative. And the alternative is called essential oils. Now, we've been talking about these essential oils. There's more than 100 of them. 33 of them are mentioned in the Bible. And constantly through the Scripture, there's this constant repetition of laying on of hands and anointing with oil. Laying on of hands and anointing with oil. This anointing with oil has to do with these essential oils, which have healing properties. And we talked about this last time. The drugs have side effects, and the healing oils have no side effects. Nobody dies from using healing oils or essential oils. But the government tells us that 130,000 people are dying every year from drugs. And that's the legal drugs. The illegal drugs only kill 6,000. The legal drugs kill 130,000. And that's the tip of the iceberg, because the American Medical Association and the Harvard Medical School and other authorities place the number at 250,000 people a year dying from iatrogenic disease. That's doctor-caused disease. That's administering the wrong drug to the wrong person, or the wrong amount, or the right amount to the wrong person, or some combination thereof. Now, nobody gets real excited about 250,000 people dying every single year from this drug problem, this iatrogenic disease. People get real excited when an airliner crashes. People get real excited if 10 people die from a bad batch of heroin that gets out on the street, but nobody cares about what Pfizer and Merck and the rest of the drug companies are doing. So I thought, well, this would be an interesting topic for us to cover. There might be four or five of you out there that say to yourselves, well, gee, is there any other alternative to these drugs? And the answer is a resounding yes. Now, we were talking about oils versus antibiotics last time, and antibiotics, you know, knock out things like venereal disease, and they knock out tuberculosis, and they knock out, pneumonia. Those are infectious diseases, and those diseases can be knocked out with antibiotics, but there are side effects, and there's problems that come from that, and we were discussing that last time. These essential oils do the same thing, but they don't leave any side effects. No side effects. So the reason that bacteria can become resistant to specific antibiotics is because an antibiotic drug consists of a specific chemical makeup and is identical in every batch that is manufactured. This consistency of antibiotics is called pharmacological purity, and it's something in which the drug companies take great pride. They want every doctor in America to know that by using their product, when he or she prescribes that drug, it's going to be exactly the same product year in and year out without fail. So another reason for consistency in manufacturing is called research. In order to conduct research under the usual rules of science, the variables must be controlled as much as possible. By having identical batches of a given medicine every time that it is produced, you have removed one variable. And you know that the patients that you test today for a given drug are receiving exactly the same drug in exactly the same amount that you used in testing last month or 10 years ago. Medical scientists do not like to test things like oils because the oils introduce an uncontrollable variable into the equation. Drugs are always the same. Essential oils are never the same from one batch to another. Now, isn't that just special? So it goes to show us that modern medicine and doctors and pharmaceutical companies are better than God at controlling the variables in these drugs. You see, Pfizer and Merck and the big pharmaceutical companies, they can turn out exactly the same drug day in, day out, year in, and year out without any variable, and God cannot do that. He can't do it with essential oils, because the strength or the chemical compounds that are in these oils vary from batch to batch. You know, it's like getting wine. Wine varies from batch to batch. You can have Cabernet Sauvignon wine from 1959, and it's different than the Cabernet Sauvignon wine of 1960, 61, 62, and 63. Every year is different. So there. And the drug companies, they don't like that. It doesn't fit the scientific model. But then I guess God isn't much of a scientist. You know, if you stop thinking about it for a minute, he's been rejected in every regard. He's not much of a politician. He's not much of an economist. He's not much of a doctor. He's not much of a pharmacist. And so we have rejected God in economics. We've rejected God in politics. We've rejected God in medicine. But, you know, there's still four or five of us around over here that have come to the conclusion, well, no, wait a minute, hang on here. Could there be a reason why these essential oils are not the same from batch to batch, from year to year? Maybe there's some strength in that. Is there a reason why? I know that the scientific community rejects essential oils for that reason. I don't know that they reject wine on that account, but they reject the essential oils because they're not the same from year to year. Well, unfortunately, the purity of synthetically or commercially produced drugs is also their Achilles heel. Let me read that to you again. It's unfortunate, but it's true. This purity of these synthetically or commercially produced drugs, which are exactly the same year in and year out, is the Achilles heel of the drug industry. It's the weakness of drugs because of the predictability and the consistency of every single batch of a specific antibiotic. The bacteria that they're designed to kill eventually learn to recognize it and then to adapt in ways that protect these bacteria and make them antibiotic resistant. The very characteristic that doctors, research scientists, and the pharmaceutical companies value the most is the very characteristic that makes all antibiotics eventually useless. And it's only a matter of time before the secrets of every antibiotic are unraveled by the intelligence of the bacteria that they were designed to attack. Designed to kill. And then the bacteria begin winning the war again, and another battle is lost, and the antibiotic is no longer effective, and the drug company has to go back to the drawing boards and come up with a new, more effective antibiotic. But you know, we don't have to go back and get a new essential oil to replace clove oil. Clove oil, or myrrh, or frankincense, or olive oil, change from year to year. There's a little subtle difference in the quality, in the strength, in the chemical composition or compound of each essential oil, year in and year out for thousands of years, and the bacteria and the viruses are never able to adapt to it. Isn't that just special? Clove oil today is just as effective against cancer as it was 3,000 years ago. But antibiotics like penicillin are no longer effective against certain strains of venereal disease. The essential oils are always effective against venereal disease, but the antibiotics are not. Well, isn't that just special? So why is it then that the drug companies don't sell these oils? Well, the main reason that drug companies don't produce or sell essential oils is because they can't be patented to create a profitable monopoly. That's it, right there. Whether they work or not is irrelevant and immaterial. They can't be patented. They can't be monopolized. Anybody that wants to go out and crack a peach, take the pit, break it open, and take out the laetrile and eat it can do it. Anybody that wants to create, make, buy, sell, trade, or use essential oils has the same ability today in 2006 that they had 100 years ago, 1,000 years ago, or 3,000 or 4,000 years ago. The clove oil is still the same. Still comes out of cloves. and you can still distill it out and get the clove oil today, just like you always could, and the drug manufacturers can't monopolize it. Isn't that just special? It's there for everybody. And anyone with the knowledge and wherewithal to invest can grow aromatic plants and then distill the oils from them. Now, some companies try to produce synthetic versions of essential oils, manufacturing the main components of, say, lavender, and then combine the ingredients to make a fake lavender. The problem, though, is that while such oils may have a fragrance that is satisfactory for perfumes, or aftershave lotions, or deodorants and shampoos, they have absolutely no healing properties whatsoever. Only an oil made by God has that healing property. Therefore, another reason pharmaceuticals don't deal with therapeutic oils is because the only way that they can be produced is to let nature make them. And when nature makes things, she never does it quite the same way twice. Essential oils are like fine wines. Even when they are harvested from the same fields, every year's crop is slightly different because no 2 years ever have quite the same sunlight, or the same temperature, the same wind and rain conditions, or the same soil nutrients available to the plants. And, of course, oils grown in different fields in different countries, climates, or continents can vary greatly, even though they may all be from the same species of plant. Now, with a product whose chemistry is never quite the same, pharmaceutical companies can never produce the consistent purity upon which they rest their reputations. Neither can a physician using the product known or know if this month's supply of frankincense or basil oil is like last month's supply. In fact, that doctor, he or she, can count on it being or not being the same. They know that it's going to be different. And furthermore, controlled studies, which are possible with manufactured drugs, are never possible. They're always impossible with natural oils because you never have quite the same material with which to test the patients. So a drug's weakness is an oil's strength, and the endless and unpredictable variation in the composition of a particular species of oil that is considered so undesirable and disadvantageous to druggists and doctors is, in fact, one of the most desirable and advantageous qualities of an essential oil. Because of their variability and unpredictability, bacteria can never anticipate ways to resist an essential oil, and therefore resistance to essential oils can never develop. Oils that were effective against bacteria in Egypt and Israel thousands of years ago are just as effective today as they ever were. Their effectiveness will never diminish, even over thousands of years. Now, as for antibiotics, the days are numbered for every one of them. Doctors have always known this. Someday, when bacteria become resistant to the final and most potent of antibiotics that man can create or produce, then the use of antibiotic medicine will be over. It will be history. It will be a temporary measure of the medical system during the 20th and 21st centuries. These are the decades when using antibiotics will come to a permanent end, so you need to be looking for some alternative. And the best alternative is to go back to what worked, and what worked over the past several thousand years is called essential oils. That's what we got from God in the beginning. Just like money, boys and girls, when the money faileth, then the logical thing to do is to go back to what worked for thousands of years, and that's gold and silver coin. Now, while a variety of essential oils are effective against fighting bacteria, and they do so in a way that microbes will never be able to develop resistance, essential oils also have another advantage. Many are virucides. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses. None. Zero. And when they are effective, it is only against bacteria. Hence, antibiotics can never be a cure for the flu or the common cold. Now, many people have already found that oils help support their immune systems against the common viral infections that visit us annually in their seasons. These people need no double-blind studies to verify their experience, and their experience is the proof of the pudding. Antibiotics are like robots. Essential oils are alive. And another important difference between the actions of oils and antibiotics is in their intelligence, or maybe more properly, the intelligence that created the essential oils. A true therapeutic-grade essential oil is smart, and it can tell the bad germs and viruses from the good ones. Now, our bodies function normally and in good health with the help of millions of friendly bacteria that live in our intestines and elsewhere in our bodies. Antibiotics kill off everything. They are an indiscriminate killer. Antibiotics are unable to tell one bacteria from another. They're microscopic killing machines, programmed to seek out bacteria without discrimination. In other words, they are brainless robots. They're made by fallible men. Aromatic oils know the difference between the bacteria that we need and the hostile invaders, and they kill off only the hostile invaders, leaving the friendly bacteria, the friendly flora, intact. They're made by our God, and they are imbued with His benevolent intelligence. And when we use antibiotics to overcome a bacterial infection, we're left in a weakened condition. Our immune systems have been compromised, and until we can reestablish a new culture of the friendly bacteria in our bodies, we are more susceptible to the next illness that comes along. So when we use oils to fight the bad bacteria, our bodily systems come out stronger. Our immune systems have been strengthened, not weakened. Our beneficial bacteria have been left untouched, and we're better able to deal with the next barrage of disease-causing germs that may appear. Now, antibiotics can sometimes work faster than oils in making the systems of a present disease disappear, but in the long run, over time, they will also do you harm. Always. Just like Walmart. Always. And there are no effective drugs without negative side effects. Let me repeat that. There are no effective drugs without any negative side effects. There are no side effects with essential oils, and there are no drugs without side effects. But when oils, herbs, and other medicines created by God are used, there are usually no negative side effects. In fact, sometimes when you address one medical problem, such as cancer, using natural means, the side effects may be that another condition, like diabetes, disappears along with the cancer. Or when one uses various oils to deal with emotional conditions, such as depression, another ailment, like arthritis, may be relieved as an unexpected side effect. Such are the blessings of using medicine created by God instead of the false medicines manufactured by man. Now, we won't go so far as to say that there is no place for antibiotics when a genuine medical emergency exists and the threat of death is near. A shot of antibiotics may save your life when the use of oils might act too slowly. But their effects, their benefits, are only temporary. And true healing, which would be in the form of a strengthened immune system, must come from some other source. So use your own discretion at all times, and please consult with your licensed health care provider. I mean, you people out there, you haven't got the intelligence or the ability or the skill or the knowledge to deal with your body's. You need a healthcare professional. You need a guardian to tell you when to come in, when to go out, and what to do when you get there. But I don't think that when you go to your allopathic healthcare professional and tell him, "Well, I've been thinking about using clove oil to treat my cancer," I don't think you're going to get much of a response from that. Well, it won't be a very positive response. Now, there's a product called using Exodus 2. Now, Exodus 2 can be applied by anointment, for example, rubbed on the skin, through which the oils are absorbed into your body transdermally. It can be breathed through the nose and into the lungs, where it enters the brain and bloodstream directly. And it can also be taken orally in small quantities, that is, 1 to 2 drops at a time, mixed with a few drops of vegetable oil. You know, vegetable oil like olive oil. By ingestion, the healing molecules enter your body by way of the absorbent tissues of your mouth and of the gastrointestinal tract. Biblical people used oils in all three ways. Exodus 2, which, by the way, is trademarked, and all other essential oils should be used with caution and common sense. Some people have sensitive skin, and everyone has sensitive skin in certain areas of their bodies. So you need to add some vegetable or massage oil when you rub it on. If it starts to heat or burn or turn red, put on more vegetable oil then to dilute it, and it will stop burning. This will not dilute the effective action of the oil. It simply slows down the rate of absorption, and it relieves the heat. It must also be kept in mind that everybody's body and emotional makeup is different. Hence, the effects of any particular oil or blend of oils are not totally predictable. Remember, they're different from one batch to the next. The response depends upon the individual. And while untoward reactions are rare, some people may respond with what seems to be an allergic reaction. So, if a person is prone to allergies or has other medical conditions that could predispose them to a reaction, then here comes your health care professional, as well as a knowledgeable aromatherapist, before trying any of these essential oils. Again, the author wants to C-H-A, cover his donkey. Now, see the Essential Oils Desk reference or Higley's Reference Guide for Essential Oils for more detailed information on using Exodus 2 and other oils. Remember that Essential Oils Desk reference? Now, regardless of how they're used, biblical oils have powerful properties. No doubt, they helped keep the Aaronic priesthood of the Israelites free from many of the diseases that they would come in contact with by coming in contact with so many sick and diseased people. And while the holy blends were not available to the people at large, the component oils were. Cinnamon, hyssop, and cassia, for example, are powerful antiseptics, while myrrh can also be used in a variety of therapeutic purposes. Any one of these oils of Exodus can be used alone with healing benefits. Now let's take a look at a couple of heart diseases like black plague. Another formula available commercially, which is just as effective and less expensive than Exodus 2, which remember now is trademark, is a blend called Thieves, which is also trademark. These two blends, Exodus and Thieves, may be considered as having similar actions and can sometimes be used for the same purposes because they have similar properties. Thieves contains cinnamon, which is one of the most active ingredients in Exodus 2 as well as in the holy anointing oil of Exodus chapter 30. Now, the name Thieves comes from an interesting history. Back during the Dark Ages of Europe, there were several great plagues that killed millions of people. These fatal epidemics were so contagious that when people died, no one was willing to remove the bodies from the streets for fear of contracting the illness themselves. People would fall dead in the streets and then be left untouched and unburied. Therefore, there were some thieves who stripped these bodies of their jewelry and then broke into these people's homes to rob them, and these thieves didn't get sick. So when a king arrested several of them, he demanded their secret upon pain of death. The king discovered that these robbers were actually perfumers and spice traders who knew about the protective properties of essential oils. So what the thieves did, they used the oils such as clove, cinnamon, lemon, eucalyptus, and rosemary, which they rubbed all over their bodies, and then they put on masks for breathing, and then they came to the bodies, robbed the bodies, and they didn't get sick. and thus the name Thieves became common for this highly effective blend of essential oils. Now, the king who arrested the thieves and made this discovery was King James of England, the same king who commissioned the English translation of the Bible back in 1611. I thought you'd think that was just real special. Hang on here, I got to give you a reminder. We're at the midway point here. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review, sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school, and it is open to individuals by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log, schedule, and archives. It can be accessed through our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest, and The Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, news, and current events 7 days a week. The law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief. And The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications that we use here on this program. And we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. The endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that those authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are going to reciprocate. Most of the authors and publications cited on The Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed in whole or in total by The Law Hour and editorial review. The opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone, and they don't necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of our advertisers, sponsors, management, or the staff of this network or local radio station. Now, for more information about The Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, last time I told you I didn't know what the prices were on these books, so I did a little asking around so I could give you some more information. These two books are dynamite. They're written by a fellow by the name of David Stewart. David Stewart. Now, I can't tell you everything that's in, you know, 350 pages here or 850 pages, but I can hit some of these high spots, like Immune to the Black Plague, and how these thieves and how this essential oil concoction came about. And they're not only interesting historically, but they may also be very valuable to you in the future. You know, if you can't get to a doctor, you can't get antibiotics, or if you get to the point where, you know, the doctor says, well, we have done everything we possibly can to you, and there's nothing more we can do. Go home and die. That's what most people do. And they do. They go home and they die because by the time the doctor gets through with them, their immune systems have been so compromised that essential oils and probably God Almighty himself couldn't save you. You know, short of death and resurrection. So at some point in time, it may be too late for you, but oftentimes, and I know my wife, she's been using essential oils and she's been using alternative therapies, and she's had cancer since 1978. And she doesn't go to the doctors. Had she gone to the doctors and had cut, burn, and poison, she'd have been dead 25 or 30 years ago. But today, she's still active, alive, healthy, doing her thing, and she still has cancer. Yeah, she still has it. And when she dies, she'll die with it. We hope she doesn't die of it or from it, but we know she's going to die with it. But it's manageable and it's treatable, and we all have cancer to one degree or another. And that cancer manifests itself, and then it really gets nasty, and you get lumps in your body. That scares the hell out of you, so you go have your breasts cut off or your guts cut out. And you could have healed that with essential oils. That's what Jesus did. You know, he didn't send people to doctors. If you'll pay attention in the scripture, you don't find Jesus saying, "Well, gosh, we better send you to the medical doctors over here because it's against the law for me to practice medicine without a license." Now, you find Jesus was out here constantly healing people, and they were on his case constantly because he was practicing medicine without a license. He was interfering with the medical monopoly. One woman came up to him one time and touched the hem of his garment. Remember that? And she had been going to the doctors for 11 years, and they were unable to do anything for her. Finally, she ran out of money, and then they wouldn't treat her anymore. And then, in desperation, she came to the Messiah, and she said, "Hey, let me touch the hem of his garment. If I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole." Now, sometimes the Messiah healed people miraculously, and that was one of them. But then other times, he didn't do that. He anointed them with oil, and they went home, and they were healed from the effects of the oil. That's called anointing oils, and it also prevents disease. Well, anyway, this first book here I want to tell you about, it's called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by David Stewart. It's about 850 pages, and then it's $50. Now, I found out where these books came from, and I told you last time I'd find out for you. It came from the Power Hour, Joyce and Dave. And here's the phone number. It's 877-817-9829. Now, I imagine you can get it from the author, but these books came from the Power Hour. So, why don't you call Joyce and Dave from the Power Hour? You probably hear them here on this network. You know, Genesis Network is the network that the Power Hour is on, or at least it used to be. And Joyce and Dave are pretty good guys. And the number again, 877-817-9829. And the book you're looking for here is The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by David Stewart. Now, there's a second book. The book I'm actually reviewing is the book called Healing Oils of the Bible. And I talked to the lady that sent this in, and she said she thought it was $25, but she couldn't remember. $25 for a paperback book is a little pricey, but the information contained in this book is priceless. I've never seen another book like it. Never heard of such a thing. I've known about these oils, you know, I've heard about them, I've read some references to them. I never knew that anybody was this smart. Well, it makes sense. The guy's a PhD, so, you know, he's spent a lot of time, effort, and energy. Good writer, interesting topics, interesting story flow, well documented, put together very nicely. The book again is called Healing Oils of the Bible by David Stewart, and the second book called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple. The two go together like a horse and carriage. You can buy them separately, you don't have to buy both together, but I would suggest that you start with the Healing Oils of the Bible. Cost you about $25. Call Joyce and Dave. Again, that number, the Power Hour, remember, is 877-817-9829. It's one of those books that we recommend to our listeners. Now listen to this. Scientific testing. My God, everybody wants science. We don't want revelation. We want science. So there's been some scientific testing done on essential oil, so let's take a look at that. Thieves. With a TM behind it, thieves. That's a trademark, so I got to keep telling you. You know that thing is trademarked. You can buy it commercially. Thieves has been tested at the Weber State University for its potent antimicrobial properties. Thieves was found to have a 99.96% kill rate against airborne bacteria. Let me repeat that. Thieves is an essential oil compound. It's probably not a compound. It's probably just a mixture. I don't know that these oils compound, but they mix. And there's a number of them, you know, like cinnamon, bark oil, and others. And they find that it has a 99.96% kill rate against airborne bacteria. My God, that's better than Pine Sol. You know, that's better than Ivory soap. Hell, that's better than Listerine. Can you believe it? Yeah, that's science. You know, they went out and they tested and said, well, let's put some bacteria in here and let's see how it does. And so they put 1,000 bacteria into a little bowl and they stuck this thieves' oil in there, and it killed 996 of the bacteria. Now, 4 of the little suckers got away. But it won't do them any good because next year's oils will be different than this year's oils. And so when they try to defend themselves against next year's variety of oil, it'll kill those 4 too. Now, cinnamon bark oil, which is an Exodus 2, that's also trademarked, has been tested alongside the antibiotics. Penicillin and ampicillin in their effectiveness against Escherichia coli and Staphylococcus aureus, the effectiveness of cinnamon was found to be comparable to the antibiotics for both types of bacteria. This data is published in the second edition of the Essential Oils Desk Reference on page 411. That's called the EODR, Essential Oils Desk Reference. Thieves, trademarked, and Exodus 2, trademarked, can be used in the same ways for the similar results. During the cold and flu seasons, they can both be applied to the soles of your feet or your children's feet without diluting them. And doing this before going to work or before sending your little ones to school may support the immune system and reduce the chances of catching whatever bugs may be floating around. And this can also diffuse either of these oils, or you can diffuse either of these oils, in your home upon return from work or after school to create an unwelcome environment for any bacteria or viruses that may have entered your home or your body from being in contact with the outside world. Now, the advantage of thieves is its price, which is not quite so precious as the cost of Exodus 2. The advantage of Exodus 2 is that it is milder, less prone to burn-sensitive skin, and has spiritual and emotional oils in its makeup as an added benefit. And it's also scripturally based on oils and formulas given by God Himself and used by His chosen people, Israel. Then there are oils for courage and spiritual awakening and some others, but I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit. I'm looking here on my tablet, and I'm going to move over here. We've got page 77 with the Black Plague, and I'm going to skip over here to page 82, which deals with causes of sickness. Shake the dust off of your feet was one of the titles here in the chapter. But causes of sickness caught my eye, and I thought I'd share this one with you. The next two verses of this passage in Mark contain a lot of information concentrated in just a few words. Now, he's referring back to Mark 6, verse 4. And then the next two verses in this passage in Mark contain a lot of information concentrated in just a few words. It says, and they went out and they preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick, and they healed them. Mark 6, verses 12 and 13. So let's analyze this for a second. You notice that they went out and they anointed these people with oil, and many that were sick were healed. Now, you know, religious people, they go around with a little vial of oil and they poke a drop on your forehead and they say, be healed, be healed. You know, and sometimes people are because they've got, you know, they've got that little touch over there. I forgot what the name of that is, you know, when you're healed and you're actually not sick. but you believe you've been healed. They call that the placebo effect. That's what that is, the placebo effect. You're healed of your affliction because you believe that you're healed of your affliction. That occurs about 6% of the time. Doctors don't quite know what that placebo effect is or how it works, but here in the Bible, it actually describes it. So there was something about these oils that these guys were using here that caused people to get better, to get well, or to be healed. Now, the first phrase of this text is crucial to the healing, and that men should repent. So let's underline that men should repent. It's kind of a wild new concept, you know, for most people, especially Christians, but let's listen to this. This verse implies that when you are sick due to a long engagement in unhealthy activities, such as maybe alcohol abuse or the use of tobacco, or maybe you're eating pig, or maybe you're eating white sugar and white flour, and these products cause bad health. They cause sickness and disease. So in order to be healed, there must come a change. That's called repentance. Ah, we're getting someplace. Let's see if we understand this. Repentance in the lifestyle that produced that illness in the first place, like giving up the alcohol or the tobacco. Okay, let's try this out. Let's suppose that you're a drunk, and you've been drinking for many, many years. And now you've developed cirrhosis of the liver. And you go to the doctor, and he says, what you need is a liver transplant, like Mickey Mantle. And Mickey Mantle spent $500,000 getting a liver transplant, lived 4 months, and then died. All right, now, let's suppose that unlike Mickey Mantle, you have been drinking for many years, and you develop cirrhosis of the liver, and you go to the doctor, and he says, hey, Bob, you need a liver transplant, but you don't have the $500,000, since you didn't have as successful a baseball career as did Mickey Mantle. And so the doc says, no money, no liver transplant, and you're stuck. So now you listen to this program, and I said, what you need is some essential oil. So you go to one of these essential oil guys. They call them aromatherapists, or to somebody else, you know, like a chiropractor or maybe some other physician other than an allopath, because he's not going to listen to this kind of crap. And so he anoints you with oil, and this may be the right anointing oil to heal your liver. But you keep on drinking, Bob. You never stop drinking. You just keep pouring the Jack Daniels down the gullet, see? And then you die. And it's because you didn't repent. Can you all see that? I mean, you don't have to be a real rocket scientist here to figure this out. If the booze caused the cirrhosis of the liver, it's probably going to continue to cause more cirrhosis of the liver in spite of all of the anointing oil. Don't you think? I always liken this to going down to Flo's place and getting a dose of clap, and then you come home and you say, oh my God, I've got VD. I need a cure. I'll go back to Flo's and petition Flo, the madam, and say, well, now, madam whore, can you give me a cure for my gonorrhea? Kids, Flo's whorehouse is where you got the clap or the gonorrhea to start with. Yet you're not very likely to find a cure there. You need a little repentance here. So what you do is you stay away from Flo's girls for a while, and you go down to Dr. Kildare, and he gives you forgiveness of sin in the form of penicillin or antibiotics, and it knocks out the gonorrhea, and you say, well, now I can go back to Flo's place again. So I can get reinfected, so I can go back to Dr. Kildare, or Marcus Welby, MD, or wherever you're going, and get more forgiveness of sin. Now, you know, God has got forgiveness of sin. You know, he told you that a number of times. But he's a little different guy. See, he says, I want you to repent. I want you to put the bottle of JD back up on the shelf. I want you to quit going down to Flo's whorehouse and come on over here and we'll heal you. So this repentance is kind of important. It kind of goes hand in hand with the cure. You want to be cured? Need a little repentance. Now, while sickness can certainly come as a result of our own actions, sometimes lung cancer from smoking, or diabetes, you know, from Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola and other good stuff, and nervous conditions from too much worry and too little faith in God, not all sicknesses, or sickness in general, is from personal transgressions of health laws. So let's discuss those kinds of sickness first. You know, some sicknesses are from environmental factors which are outside of your control, such as bad air, bad water, such as contracting cancer from working in a factory for years and breathing asbestos we did not even know was there. And some injuries or disabilities are the result of accidents for which we were not responsible, like being hit head-on by a drunk driver. I'm going to underline that, being hit head-on by a drunk driver. Now, if that happens to you, then time and chance happen to you, and it's pretty obvious that you weren't under the terms of the contract or the covenant. Because you see, children, all of us have a guardian angel. Yeah, guardian angel, you ever heard that? That's kind of strange, I know, to Christian folks, but I'm going to show you this guardian angel here in the scripture. It's over here in Matthew 4, verse 6. Jesus had a guardian angel. In verse 5 it says, the devil took Jesus, you know, the Messiah, took him up into the holy city, and he set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you're the Son of God, cast yourself down, because it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time you dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, well, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. So the Messiah here, in this case, he decided, well, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when Satan said to him, throw yourself down, your guardian angel will protect you, he said, yeah, that's true. If I fell off of here, my guardian angel would save me alive. But if I jump off of here, he won't. Now, you've probably heard some stories about people that survived an airplane crash and everybody was killed except this one or two people. Well, there's guardian angels. You know, they're supposed to keep you off those airplanes, but if you just won't stay off for some reason or another, and you get on there, and your guardian angel, he's going to save you from that, because under the terms and conditions of our contract called the Old Covenant, you can't die before you're 70 years old. So, you know, if you're over 70, partner, you're on borrowed time. I'm getting there. I'm 68, and I'm telling you, I'm down to my last 24 months, kids. But I'm not going to die till I'm 70. And I'm not going to have an automobile accident that's going to kill me either, because my angel's going to be there to protect me. Well, as long as I'm practicing the law, he'll protect me. Now, if I get a little uppity and I don't do that, then time and chance happens to us all. Now, sometimes these illnesses come as a genetic hand-me-down that we couldn't or wouldn't have chosen. Now, some consider such illnesses to be generational curses. We see that in Exodus 20, verse 5. It's also in Deuteronomy 5, verse 9. Sometimes an illness can even come by God's permission, or God causes it, such as you see in the book of Job. Job, you know, he was struck with boils. Satan came over to God one day and he says, hey, you see that guy Job down there? And God said, yeah, yeah, I know old Job. He said, hey, listen, you know, that Job down there, he'll curse you to your face if you give him boils. And God said, well, let's test him and find out. Why don't you go give him boils? And so Satan did. He went over and he afflicted Job with boils and he didn't curse God. And then Satan came back and said, well, listen, you take all of his toys away from him and he'll curse you. And God said, that's a heck of a good idea. Why don't you go test him? Job maintained his innocence. He said, well, I haven't done anything to deserve this, but here it is. It's come upon me. Sometimes that happens. So sometimes an illness can even come by God's permission as a test of your faith. Job was an example of this kind of sickness where Satan was allowed to afflict him with boils to test his trust in God. You'll see that in Job 2, verses 1 through 3. Sometimes you can be afflicted with a disability as part of a greater divine plan. An example of this is the man born without sight. He was blind, mentioned in John 9, verses 1 through 3. So when the When the Messiah's disciples asked if the man's blindness was because of his sins or because of those of his parents, the Messiah replied, "Neither. Neither has this man sinned, nor have his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." So the Messiah thereupon healed the man of his blindness. And this man was then to play a key role in the developing issues between Jesus and the Pharisees that ultimately led to his death. Practicing medicine without a license. Practicing ophthalmology, you know, without having the blessing of the state. So our response to a disease inflicted by God for spiritual purposes is one thing, but most of our problems cannot be attributed to God, and in many cases our sicknesses are caused by our own thoughts, emotions, and actions, or by what we eat, what we breathe, what we drink, and what we do on a daily basis. Now somehow, in some way, we have failed to obey some of God's natural or spiritual laws for maintaining wellness. All disease, boys and girls, is caused by broken law. You can't get sick without breaking one of these laws in the Scripture. There's 18 health laws. You break any one of them and you'll get sick. Sickness may come as a wake-up call for us to stop, introspect, figure out what it may have been that we did to make ourselves sick, and then repent. Let me underline that word again, repent. You know what repentance is? Stop doing that. Stop drinking so much booze that it causes cirrhosis of the liver. You know, drinking a Coke once in a while isn't going to kill you, but drinking a six-pack every day is guaranteed to give you diabetes or double your money back. So you need to make whatever changes are necessary in your lifestyle to remedy this problem and prevent it from happening again. So every sickness, every illness is an opportunity to correct past mistakes, acquire new wisdom, make spiritual progress, and increase in righteousness, and grow closer to God. Now this is a hard thing for many people to accept, the idea that they, you, that's you, Buster, are responsible to one extent or another personally. You, personally, are responsible for your own sickness. They would rather believe that they suffer heart disease or diabetes or fibromyalgia, arthritis, cancer, etc., because they're random victims of fate. Now, the Bible suggests otherwise. The curse, causeless, does not come. Proverbs 26:2. If you're suffering from a curse, like sickness or disease, there's a cause for it. And some of these illnesses may well be randomly assigned. We can't do much about that. But the illnesses that we have played a part in creating, we can certainly do something about that by understanding our part, admitting responsibility, and then change your ways. And that's called repentance. Yeah, I'm running out of time. Let me give you a final reminder here that this is called The Chemistry of Essential Oils Made Simple by David Stewart. Remember, you can get it from the Power Hour. That's Joyce and Dave. And then Healing Oils of the Bible, written also by David Stewart. And remember, that also comes from Joyce and Dave on the Power Hour. Hey, I'm about out of time, so let me remind you that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School here in Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. If you'd like more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, and all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We're going to have to leave it right there. So we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. So until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.